Tom Riello speaking to us from the capital city. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing today?
It's like the Tom and Tom show. Like, I'll step away. I'm just going to drink my tea.
No, you know what? You're an honorary Tom because you're Todd. So you start with a T-O.
It's close.
There we go.
Just missed the mark.
It's close.
Just that much.
Hey, maybe Tom has taught somebody who's had an 11.9 GPA.
Hey, I want to check out the teachers. They probably got some payola on the side, you know. Who knows, you know, bumping the kid's grade up to like a 200 on a test or something. I don't know. I didn't know that was possible, but you never know. We should contact the great Faustin Weber out in Texas and see what he has to say about that, see if that's a possibility.
There's a few extra cannolis your way, right?
So looking back on history, Tom, their civilizations have risen and fallen. And you wanted to talk about how that actually happens kind of systematically, correct?
Yeah, the great Monsignor Charles Pope, who has the best priest name, right? Because if he ever's elected Pope, he'll be Pope. But he comes up with, you know, from books that have been written, you know, this trajectory in history, this the cycle of history, you know, there's really nothing new under the sun. And he goes through these eight stages of an empire or of a nation. And you look at history, and he lists them as follows. The first stage, bondage to spiritual growth, and the second, spiritual growth to great courage. The third, from courage to liberty. Fourth, from liberty to abundance. Fifth, from abundance to complacency. Sixth, from complacency to apathy. Seventh, from apathy to dependence. And then eighth, from dependence to, again, a kind of bondage. And then the cycle repeats itself. And when I read this article, I think it was on the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C.'s website, and that's because I found it on New Advent. But anyway, Monsignor Pope always writes something that's thought-provoking, something to, you know, give you food for thought. I thought of two sociologists who have written a lot about Christianity. I thought of Philip Jenkins, and I thought of Rodney Stark. Those names some of our listeners might know. They have written books from a sociological perspective, certainly friendly toward Christianity, but certainly not advocating as Catholics or Christians per se, but really as historians and sociologists looking at history. And one of the things that they pointed out, both independent of each other, was that where Christianity begins to take root in a culture, what you see in history is an incredible revival, not just spiritually, but temporally. Because you have, for example, take India. India has the fastest growing middle class in the world. You hear people say that all the time. One of the reasons why oil, is up higher than it's been. Say, when you go back 30 years ago, China and India were not as much players in the market for oil. I mean, they were obviously players, but not to the extent they are today. And so, of course, what does that do to oil? It's going to make more of a demand. And so that's why you have all these different, you know, alternative uses and different things, renewable energies. But India has also seen a really significant growth. Now, you're talking about a population of 1.3 billion. So for them, if Christianity grows by just 1 or 2%, that's a massive number. You know, their numbers, though, of course, they would be very small percentage-wise in that culture. They have seen a significant uptick in the number of practicing Christians, especially in certain parts of India. And what has happened in many parts of India there? Well, you have an embrace of each person has their human dignity. The caste system is kind of casted off, yes, pun intended. Not that it's completely gone away with, but it's not as much of a dominant reality. And you see growth. Nigeria is weird. Nigeria is almost two countries. Well, I shouldn't say almost. It really is two countries. If you go center north, it's Islamic. That's where many of our brothers and sisters, Catholic and evangelicals, they risk dying if they go to church, if they go to mass, if they go to worship service. They risk death. It's the area where there's been most martyrs made over the last 10 years. If you Google and look up Nigeria, especially in the north, you're going to see thousands upon thousands who have died. We hosted a young lady here. My wife made friends with her. And her name was Precious, and she was from southern Nigeria when she was at Auburn University Montgomery. And she would come to our house every Sunday, and my wife and her became really good, you know, really good friends. And she would talk about the risk in going to church, but she said in the South it was so different. In the South, you were free. You know, even if you weren't necessarily Catholic and practicing your faith, you still experience the freedom. And what do you see in southern Nigeria, center south? You see a lot of abundance. You see a lot of wealth being created. You see a lot of success being created. Well, where's Nigeria now in the world state? Well, it's the leading country in Africa as far as its GDP, its population, and there's been a lot of positive growth in the South. In the North, not so much. It kind of strangely mirrors North and South Korea in that sense, right? You see South Korea, you know, opulent, powerful, wealthy. You see North Korea, right? What it, you know, the image of the satellite dark at night. And that's kind of like what Monsignor Pope is getting at. But here's the problem. It becomes too successful for its own good, mm-hmm. right? Because it creates this liberal order, as Patrick Deneen says. And then we forget, as T.S. Eliot said, we begin to think that the West was created for the law of compound interest. Mm-hmm. And we forget what undergirds the culture that created this. And that's basically the gist of Monsignor's point in the article.
Well, it's kind of scary, though, when you think about it, because it's like we're kind of near the end of those steps, Tom.
Yeah. How could you not look at our country and see that in many ways, right? It's one of the problems of technology. We all love technology. I'm talking to you on a phone. This is going to be posted to various social media platforms, as the Holy Father talked about in Magnificat Humanitas. Right, it's all wonderful. We've shrunk the world. Bishop Barron, you know, can go viral. He can interview the Vice President of the United States, a Supreme Court Justice. These are great, great opportunities, no doubt. But it also presents, as the Holy Father says, these very scary scenarios as well, where, you know, it's kind of an Orwellian world. It's Huxley. It's the Brave New World. We become the masters of our own fate. We become our own gods in many ways. And so there's this constant battle. And in many ways, the West has become too successful for its own good. And because of that, we look at God and our need for God, our dependence on God. Who needs God? I'm a self-made man.
Yeah, Tom, the thing that troubles me about this, just within myself, about this whole pattern developing of struggle and faith that leads to prosperity, then complacence, then it falls apart. And I've heard this theory before, and Monsignor Pope spells it out very well. And it's undeniable that the world has gone through this cycle over and over again. Mm-hmm. The thing that troubles me, that I struggle with, is the sense that there's an inevitability to this, that almost it seems like that kind of strips us of our freedom, like it's unavoidable. And something about that I find a little bit repugnant, because it seems like it deprives us of our freedom, like that it's like, oh, well, we just got to play it out, let it reboot. And I kind of refuse to accept that. I feel like it's our call to resist this and to really try to overcome that complacency and that bondage. But on the other hand, it does seem like it's too big of a thing for us to get in the way of. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No. You made me think of, you're a football guy, you love football, made me think of great Bill Walsh. I bought his book, and I wish I still had it, years ago. And I hated the 49ers, but I admired Bill Walsh. He was brilliant. He was a genius. And his book was called The Winning Edge, and he published it after he retired, after he won his third Super Bowl. And one of the things that he always bucked the conventional wisdom, that Walsh's system bucked the conventional wisdom. And one of the things that he bucked was, and he said this in other places, you know, Howard Cosell used to talk about prevent defense. What does it do? It's a great way to prevent your team from winning, but it's what you do, right? It's what you do. Well, Walsh never did that. Walsh never, and he wasn't a defensive guy, but he instructed his defensive staff, you play in these last 2 minutes just like you played in the first 58. And if that means Fred Dean's going to go to the quarterback to try to get a sack, you bet your bottom dollar he's going to go to the quarterback and get a sack. And if that means Ronnie Lott is going to knock out a tight end or wide receiver across the middle of the field, you bet your bottom dollar Ronnie Lott's going to knock out a tight end across the field. In other words, they played the same way that they played the entire game. But it was the inevitability, right? To say, well, this is what you got to do, the inevitability. And I agree with you. Just like in football, you have to look at film to learn what's out there. I think what Monsignor Pope's article does is say, hey, look, we're in this place. How can we use this information to buck this trend? Mm-hmm. What can we do? How can we, as church, as Archbishop Rivetuso reminds us, as the church, as we are the church here in the Archdiocese of Mobile, how can we be different? How could we not fall to the forces of history, if you will, of what we've seen our brothers and sisters before us do? How can we make this something that has a trajectory that doesn't lead to inevitable decline spiritually, but to a spiritual empowerment? You know, do we really have to live in squalor on the streets to say, oh, I need God? No. You know, Elon Musk should recognize, he should get on his knees every day and say, I need God. And what the world would look like if people like that were doing that. But unfortunately, it's in the tares, right? There's always that battle. But we have to know what we're up against, and you're 100% right. We should never, ever give in to something and say, well, this is just the inevitable decline. It's like, no. We should be different because we are Christian. We are in a very real sense the protagonists of the story with the Holy Spirit. We're not on our own, but with the Holy Spirit, we are co-protagonists. As Benedict talked about in his motto as Pope, you know, co-laborers.
No, I think that that's very possible. Granted, it may not be as ease as when it comes out of that desperation, but I think we can be intentional and bring about a renaissance, a spiritual renewal in this country, even in the midst of our ease and affluence, don't you think, Tom?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we should be of all people. You know, we had Bible study last night, and I always begin Bible study thanking God for the blessings that we have, that we are meeting this evening in relative peace and freedom. Amen. And our brothers and sisters around the world, many of whom could not do this right now. And so we pray for them. We offer up this Bible study for them. May the Holy Spirit take this time that we are gathering and infuse them with some kind of knowledge through this. Father Alex always says, and he's right, I love it, the mass that's being offered in your parish area redounds to the greater community, even amongst those who do not care that this mass is being offered right now. Mm. There are graces that are being poured out. And I feel the same way, that when, you know, when we have this wonderful success and the opportunity to really experience temporal blessings, that we should give thanks to Almighty God first. And there's no reason why we can't keep that attitude. I know plenty of people, supporters of Archangel Radio, who God has blessed, and they give back, they pay it forward, and they support, and they give away of what they have received from the Lord. They give it away to the service of the ministry, and that's a great blessing.
Amen. Amen. Tom Riello, always great having you on. Thanks so much, buddy.
Yes. Enjoy the Tom Day.
Yeah, indeed. Coming
bye,
up,
guys.
Doug Barry is going to be talking about his book, The First Line of Defense. You don't want to miss it, so stay with us.
Heart is, then my heart lives by the bay. If home is where the heart is, then my heart lives by the bay.